Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively the Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Christian parenting.
Welcome to the Christian Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Steph Thurling. I'm the Executive Director of Christian Parenting, a mom of three, and I am so glad that you're here. This is a place where you can bring your real self, no matter what that looks like today, and be given the space, resources, and encouragement you need to set aside perfection and grow into the perfectly imperfect parent God made you to be. Okay, you guys, we have a fun interview today, just in time for Thanksgiving. Most of us know that there's a funny little tradition for the president to pardon a turkey on Thanksgiving, but do you know where that tradition came from? It actually started with Abraham Lincoln and his son, Tad. And my guest today, Raymond Arroyo, wrote a children's book that tells the story. So we sit down and we talk about how we are parenting in a challenging time, what we can learn from parents who have gone before us, the influence we have in our kids' lives and the influence they have in ours, how Abraham Lincoln grew in faith over the years, what he meant for Thanksgiving to be, and what mercy means for us and our kids. I hope that you have fun with this conversation and think about Thanksgiving just a little bit differently. Hi, Raymond. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, Steph. Great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Okay, so I just get right to the good stuff.
Okay.
Because we try to keep these episodes in a time for a parent's commute. So I want to just jump in and learn all about you. Can you tell my listeners about you, about your family? And then describe your family in that one word or phrase.
Well, Rebecca and I have been married almost 30 years. We have a 25-year-old who's getting married in April. We have a middle son who's at college and our baby who is a senior in high school here in New Orleans. So it's a wild ride, but they're all, you know, this is what was supposed to happen. Children are with us for a little period of time. They're entrusted to us, and then they become their own people. They move and go in their own direction, and hopefully your values, your history, all of that has helped prepare them for the road ahead and the journeys to come. And ours are beginning that, and it's nice to see, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine that that's a fun stage to be in as your kids start to launch and really, like, make the world their own and make their mark on the world.
It is, and a little scary. You know, I worry for the world. I worry for the world, not the kids, the world. So look out, world.
That's fair. Yeah. Okay, and then what's your one word or phrase that would describe your family?
Chaotic.
Oh.
Chaotic. Everybody's going in their own direction. Everybody does their own thing. But I think that's true of every family. We have this mindset that because, you know, these children come from these two parents, that they're all going to somehow follow some order or pattern. That's not necessarily true. They are all their own people. There are traits that run through them, but more often you see different reflections of yourself in each child. And for good or bad, there it is. So and they all run in their own direction. So it's a bit chaotic, but that's the nature of family life. I mean, that's the nature of the Tad and Abraham Lincoln's journey, which we'll talk about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, and then before we get into that, let me ask you also, what is the one thing that you want every parent to know?
I want every parent to know that your child is unique. And as I'll talk about in this book, and as we discuss this book, the child is not, we think of children in a utilitarian way, I think. What can this child do? What is this child's gift? No, this is your child. Their purpose is to garner your love and support and for you to nurture them to be the best people they can be. But what they do is less important than what you do for them. So I think it's really important for parents to have that perspective, because today, from the moment they hit preschool, they're already focused on what college you're going to enroll them in and getting them on waiting lists. This is absurd. You don't know that child. And I love that the Lincolns, well, there's a lesson here for the Lincolns. Stay tuned.
Okay, well, let's talk about it. Let's just jump right into that. So your book is about Thanksgiving and Tad Lincoln and his dad. So tell us a little bit about it. And then,
well, give a summary. The Magnificent Mischief of Tad Lincoln is, in one part, a family story, the relationship between the president of the United States and his youngest son, Tad. The other part of the story is really the origin story of a great American holiday tradition, and indeed, Thanksgiving itself. You will never look at a turkey in the same way when you finish reading my book, I promise you. It will suddenly conjure up all sorts of images, ideas, and hopefully a reminder of the true intention of Thanksgiving and what it really is supposed to be, not a festival of gluttony, but a moment of mercy and forgiveness and coming together in unity as family, as community, and as a people, as a nation. That's the way Abraham Lincoln saw it. But it was all bound up with his family drama, his family story, which, again, it's a great lesson there for parents. The book opens, you know this, the book opens with Tad Lincoln and his brother Willie tearing the White House up. And I did not make any of these stories up. Lincoln's secretaries and contemporaries in the White House wrote in their diaries and in other letters, they chronicled the exploits of the boys, from digging up the Rose Garden to building a fort on the roof of the White House to wearing military uniforms to literally hitching a goat to a dining room chair and racing through White House parties in the East Room. So all of this really happened. And the secretaries, well, they described Tad Lincoln as a hellion in some of these diaries. And they said, why does the president allow this hellion to run wild in the White House? Well, I figured out why. And Abraham Lincoln indulged Tad because in the hellscape that Lincoln was living through, losing a war, losing a child, watching the country come apart, Tad Lincoln was a touchstone of joy and hope and mirth and happiness and what was possible on the other side of the tragedy he was living through. That's why he indulged him and allowed him to pull his pranks and tear the place up. And more often than not, they describe Lincoln when he was with his boys, when they were playing pranks, when they were doing something silly, he would be doubled over in neighing laughter, they said. And so I wanted that image of Lincoln just stuck in my head. And it's partly what I shared with our illustrator. And you'll see that face of Abraham Lincoln that I don't think we've ever seen before.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we don't talk about that very often in history. And it's also really relatable because as parents, I think we probably imagine kids in the White House being very well behaved and having, you know, like surely they all have it put together.
Yeah. And, nope, you know, they don't. Chaotic. Like my family, chaotic. Well, you know, the other thing is, Steph, they grew up in Springfield, Illinois, which people forget. At that time, that was the rustic. That was like out in the woods. So these kids had lots of goats and rabbits and ponies. They brought all of that to the White House with them. So they were outdoor boys, and they brought that to the city of Washington. And their parents said, let them be boys. Let them do what they love.
Yeah. Okay, I think one of the things he said was really interesting. And kind of going back to Tad, he was living in a dark time in our country. We were in war. There was a lot going on. He lost his brother. I mean, people were dying of illness in a different way than we do now. But I think, so they lived in a dark time. And I think that parents today probably really relate to that. I mean, obviously, we live in a dark world. It's different than when the Lincolns were alive, but it still feels dark and it still feels hard sometimes.
Yeah.
So what do you think, when you look back at history and you've done your research into this family, like what can we learn as parents from the people who have gone before us and survived these dark times?
Steph, I think of history as history is a guidebook for living for us because it's a warning of what not to do and it's an instruction in what to do. And too often we ignore history. And particularly when you ignore the history of your own nation and the people that created it, you lose something of yourself. You have amnesia. If you don't know the ground you stand upon, you don't know what you're defending or what you're a part of. You can't continue something you're ignorant of. So I thought it really important, particularly for young people, to acquaint them, to give them an on-ramp into moments of history, into these great figures that you and I had acquaintance with, but we didn't even know deeply. So the first book in this series, and I call it Turnabout Tales, that's the name of the series. because all of these lives are great lives, but they're great lives in their younger selves facing challenges, facing obstacles. And I always tell kids, when you meet a roadblock or you meet an obstacle, that's not the end of your journey. That's the beginning of your life. And that's what happens in every one of these stories. My first book was about Thomas Edison. Edison was thrown out of school at 8 years old and told he was an idiot who couldn't be taught. His mother homeschooled him, took him home, fed his passion, allowed him to tinker and play with acids and electricity and current and steam. And she nurtured and raised up the greatest inventor of all time. By the way, the microphone I'm talking to you on, the light I'm under, everything to the electric car outside, all created by Thomas Edison more than 100 years ago. This story is not about a mother who saves her son, but about a son who saves his father. And again, moments of crisis. We are in a dark time. I think you're right. And now with what's happening in Israel, what's happening in our own country, the crime everywhere, kids feel a little lost. Families are under stress. This is a good reminder, the magnificent mischief of Tad Lincoln, about the joy and hope that can be found all around you and that we often ignore. And sometimes it's in the den with us. It's at the kitchen table with us. And you have to take a moment, take a breath, step away from the news and the job and the world outside and refortify yourselves with each other. Just being present to each other, enjoying a laugh together, a moment, a momentary escape, and staying close to each other. That's really the lesson of Tad and Abraham Lincoln. And kids get that. When I read this to children, they're like, wow. So did he go everywhere with his dad? Yeah, he did. He went to major addresses. He went to the Capitol with his father. He got on the boat to go look at, review the troops in Richmond. He was there at all these key moments of history. And 1863, just so you know, and this is alluded to at the end of the book, but I don't say this explicitly. 1863, the year that Lincoln pardons Tad's turkey, which is the heart of the story, it's the same year he creates Thanksgiving as a national holiday. It's the same year he signs the Emancipation Proclamation, freeing the enslaved people. All of that happens at the same moment with the same family. And I thought, why don't we ever hear that part of the tale? So I told him.
Yeah. Well, I love the emphasis on family and in just the small parenting moments, you know, because sometimes we look for the big, if you look at the Lincoln's family, you're looking for the big moments where he's at a big address, but really it's all those little moments in your family that make up who you are and who your kids will grow to be.
Yes.
You know, I think just family matters, especially right now.
Oh, and Tad Lincoln, look, he was not the exemplary child. Tad Lincoln had a cleft palate. He was a bad student. He couldn't read very well. I think that's part of the reason Abraham Lincoln was so close to him and wanted him so close, because others couldn't even understand what he was saying, but Lincoln could, and his wife could. So it created a very compact world and family unit. So that may explain also why Tad and Abraham Lincoln were so close. And the thing I love is he allowed his child, Abraham Lincoln did, to see him as he went about his day. And there were lessons that were conveyed there. We have that. There's a beautiful image in the middle of the book where, and it's this is totally historical. People would get in line and await pardons from the president. They would line up outside the White House. It isn't what it is today. You could walk up to the front door of the White House, and people did, begging pardon for their kids who abandoned the war field, wanting properties back. 82% of every pardon that was asked of President Lincoln, he granted. And Tad Lincoln would often sit next to the desk and watch him entertaining all of these pleas. And he absorbed those lessons. And later, he would ask his own pardon of his father and sort of hold him to the lesson that he absorbed and watched before him. So it's really interesting. It's also about how children learn from their parents, you know, by watching. It's not what you say, not what you instruct them. It's what they see you doing. And in a moment of crisis, Tad relies on that, and his father makes good on it and creates this beautiful national tradition. As I said, you'll never look at a turkey in the same way again. And I hope the White House turkey pardon, when you see it, you think of mercy, forgiveness, Tad Lincoln, and his dad.
Yeah. So you guys have probably heard me talk about IXL before, and that is because I truly love it. IXL is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum or offers a little more support at home that balances your school curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies. It adapts to each child, meeting them exactly where they are. So I have one kid who gets a little bored in math class and he wants more of a challenge. So I've used IXL to give him a little more work at home and really push him in his favorite subject. And then I have another child who's kind of struggled through some of his math units. And so we use IXL to get him a little more practice before those unit tests so that he feels more confident. And it has seriously been such a helpful tool for our family. IXL is easy to use. Everything is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it really simple to find activities for the exact skills that your kids are covering. IXL also offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. So it's really helpful if you're using it to get a little extra support and practice in a particular subject. Like my family, you can make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Christian Parenting Podcast listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL memberships when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Again, you can visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the very best price. I know as a mom, it is so easy to put everybody else's needs ahead of yours. And I know this because I do it too. But when hormonal changes start to take a toll on your body, it is definitely time to start taking care of you. Hormone health is so much more than just a few symptoms. It affects everything from your mood to your energy levels to how you cope with stress. If you're a woman, you know how easily hormones can get out of balance, especially with all the daily stresses of life. And when that happens, it can feel like everything else is off too. But what if there is a simple habit that you could add to your routine that could make a huge difference? That's where Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth comes in. Happy Mammoth, the company that started Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, especially moms. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. The results are so impressive, you guys. There are over 40,000 reviews on their website, and women cannot stop talking about it on social media and in real life too. I know so many people who use Hormone Harmony and absolutely love it. In fact, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CPPODCAST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CPPODCAST for 15% off today. Okay, let's talk about some of those themes because mercy, generosity, leadership,
yeah.
Those are some of the big themes throughout the book. So how did you land on those? Like, was that intentional? Did it kind of just happen? Like, how did you land on some of those big themes? Because they're important for kids to know.
Well, nothing just happens, but the story, I mean, I see myself as I'm here to serve the story. So I collect, mm-hmm. It took me months and months, Steph. I went through like 20 Lincoln biographies. There's only one book on Tad Lincoln, and it was out of print in like 1967. So I had to find a used copy of it. It was all beaten up. It's here on the shelf somewhere. But, and that was only partially helpful. So I pulled this from diary entries of secretaries, a girl who babysat the Lincoln boys, a friend of Mary Todd Lincoln's, all of this. So I kind of put these vignettes together. And then when I laid it all out, the themes kind of came out of that. You don't have to move it too much. You just sort of tell the story. And the story was already there. These themes just emerged from the story. But I didn't put those there. My job was to tell the story cleanly. And then you breathe in the themes and you see things there that others may not see. And certainly children don't always see. You know, I write for two audiences. I write for the child today. I write for the child grown up tomorrow. So adults find this book, and I've gotten beautiful letters and emails. They find it very moving. Some say, I cried in the middle of the book, and how emotionally attached they were to these characters. Kids go on a very different journey. They like the slapstick and wow, Tad went with his dad to the troops and he saved the turkey. They take something different away. So I like to write for those two audiences. you know, L. Frank Baum, who wrote the Wizard of Oz series, he said, I write for the young and the young at heart. I do too.
That's good. What do you think? What do you want kids to know as they read this over and over and as they grow? What do you want them to know about mercy and how mercy changes you?
Well, Lincoln had this great line, and I wrote it down the other day. I just came across it. I wish I would have seen it earlier. I probably would have put it in the book. And it was about, this was to one of his cabinet secretaries about the Confederacy. And he wanted to reach out to them to try to come up with a plan, a peace plan. And he said, do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends? That was Lincoln's kind of philosophy. So he did have kind of this merciful outlook. And he was not a religious man, but he came to religion, I think, in the cauldron of, and the pressure of the trials of war and the personal losses. And you see that. You see the evolution in his speeches. They start off with no reference to God or the Almighty, and all of a sudden they become very almost Old Testament in their talk of sin and the displeasure of God. I mean, I'm going to read this to you. This is the Thanksgiving address. He says, we have Thanksgiving to thank the Most High God, who while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nonetheless remembered mercy. There's that theme again. So it was in, it's already there. I didn't have to impose it because it's there, it's woven into the historical record. So all I had to do was really bring out the bits of the story that illuminated that. But yeah, you want kids to know that revenge and hatred is not the path. And if we have great figures like Lincoln and like Tad Lincoln, a boy their age, who absorbed and learned those lessons, even through loss, even through trial, and Tad goes through trials too, that there's light on the other side of it. And that's always the preferred way to go.
I want to go back to the origin of Thanksgiving, because Lincoln established it as a national holiday.
Yeah.
I don't think I truly knew that.
I didn't either.
This book. So what was his intention for it? Because you said his intention was different than what we think of Thanksgiving now. Yeah. So what did he mean? Why did he do it? What did he mean for it?
Well, remember, it was done during the Civil War. There was actually a woman whose name escapes me now who had been lobbying Congress to create a national holiday. And the reason was there were little kind of hopscotch ad hoc Thanksgiving celebrations on different days in different states and localities. But Lincoln was the first to say, no, this Thursday will be the day we celebrate Thanksgiving nationally. And when you read it, you know, I'll read you a little more from it, because he says this. This is October 3rd, 1863. And Steph, what I love is the personal in particular always becomes the universal. I mean, this is the law of any drama, any story. You know, we see the particular story, but it has universal implications. When you're the child of a president or a president, it really has universal implications. And the fact that all these years later, we're still doing this stuff, we're still doing a turkey pardon, we're still celebrating Thanksgiving, it means there's value there. But we've forgotten the origin of this, and I think lost the purpose of the day. It's not to gorge yourself with everything you can find, you know, and wear spandex pants. That's not the purpose of Thanksgiving or get, you know, Black Friday sales. No. Here's what he wrote. He said, it's penitence. That's how he saw Thanksgiving, Lincoln. Penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience. And he says, it's a day to fervently implore the imposition of the Almighty hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. That's how it ends. So he saw the fractured nation in the midst of the Civil War. He wanted this holiday to bind up the wounds, bring us together as a people, and beg God for forgiveness, and in mercy go forward together, unified. Boy, Steph, if we don't need that message today, I don't know what message we need. So I hope we restore Thanksgiving and that families will restore Thanksgiving. Read this book. In the back, I have some of these citations, just so you and your family have a broader understanding of why you do this. And I think it's devolved into gluttony and football. That's not what Lincoln intended. And frankly, that's not a day worth having. I mean, it's a nice day off, but it's much more than that. Much more. Thanksgiving to God. for your blessing.
Oh, what's so interesting too is that not only does our country need that so badly, but you always hear the jokes around Thanksgiving about gathering with your family and your in-laws and what Thanksgiving fight are you going to have around politics or religion or all the things at the table, right? We all talk about those things, and that's literally going against what the holiday is supposed to be.
Right. Well, that's why I hope families will get this. And, you know, I had a Christmas book a few years ago called The Spider Who Saved Christmas, and people read that every Christmas Eve now. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people have bought this book, and they read it as a family. I hope The Magnificent Mischief of Tad Lincoln will become the Thanksgiving and holiday read when all the family is gathered together, because it's a wonderful reflection for us all. Yes, it's a fun historic story, and these are figures that many people aren't familiar with, but it also points to this tradition and holiday that we should be much more familiar with. And hopefully we'll absorb those lessons and use them going forward.
Yeah. There really aren't very many children's books on Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays.
Yeah,
and they just don't have, we have like one book. You know, there aren't very many.
No,
of them,
there aren't. So. No.
Yeah.
I can't think. I can think of one that we used to read to our children, but it was, I mean, it's kind of frivolous stuff. So I love that this is something rooted in our American story, and we've got to share that. We need to do that for the future.
Okay. Tell us about your family traditions for Thanksgiving. What do you guys do as a family? How do you gather in unity, especially as your kids are older now?
Yeah. Well, like,
do you guys do?
Obviously we all come together, which is a big part of it. You come together, you're in the same place. That is itself a sign of unity and an important one. We cook together. You know, everybody has their jobs. You cook together. Sometimes we go to mass, you know, if we can. Occasionally there's a game and we'll go to the game together. But it is a moment. We do take that moment at the table to give thanks for the things of the year, to remember those who are no longer with us, and there are many. You know, you lose people as you go, and that's why we have to value every moment and take the important things they've given us and carry them forward. We try to do that at the Thanksgiving table.
Yeah. Do you get together with your entire family or just your
whole family? My parents, the grandparents, my kids, everybody gets together. Yep.
And what is your favorite thing to eat on Thanksgiving? And what do you make? If you cook, what do you make?
Well, I make the turkey. I usually, it's the one time I cook all year. I do the turkey. Sometimes. Usually, but not always. My favorite thing to eat is my mother's oyster dressing, which in New Orleans is its own thing. She also has an artichoke dressing that's pretty darn good too. So you live for that. Oh, and melatonin dressing, which people don't know in the rest of the country what that is. It's kind of a squash, but it's really good.
Tell me more.
Well, it's shrimp.
More. What is this?
It's shrimp and melatonin, which is the squash, and it's kind of breaded, and you put butter in it, and it's a casserole. It's like 5,000 calories a bite, but it's worth every morsel.
That's what Thanksgiving's
you
about,
bet.
Right?
That's a part
we don't
it.
Care about that.
That's a part
of it. Yes, that is a part of it. Okay, I'm going to find a recipe for that, and we'll put it in show notes.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah,
melatonin dressing.
Good. Okay,
you
perfect.
Need to do
Thank
that.
You. Okay, can you tell us where people can connect with you? Tell us about your other books, too, because you have multiple in this series.
Yes.
I know you have some Christmas stuff coming out.
Yes,
so tell us
tell
what's
you about
coming
all of
from
that.
You, and then connect us.
Well, you can go to RaymondArroyo.com for all of this. RaymondArroyo.com. And that's got the books there, the Christmas books. The Edison book, The Unexpected Light of Thomas Alva Edison, is the first book in the series. The Magnificent Mischief of Tad Lincoln is the second. And they are connected in some ways. These are, you know, I realize I love underdog stories and I love origin stories. And that's what all of these end up being. And my next project that I've just unveiled, we're at the top of Billboard's jazz charts and holiday charts. I have a new album, believe it or not, called Christmas Merry and Bright. And it just came out. And it's amazing. It's a record producer friend of mine came to me. She'd seen me on my Christmas special on EWTN, singing with Johnny Mathis and Aaron Neville and Andy Williams over the years. And she said, would you do a Christmas album? And I said, no. And she said, well, why not? What if we got you an original arranger? I said, I don't know. I got to think through it. I don't have a concept for this. So I pulled a bunch of songs, printed the lyrics out, went through them. And like my research on Lincoln, I did a deep dive into each of these songs. And what I discovered, Steph, is, again, love origin stories, many of our preconceptions of these songs are wrong. Many of the recordings and the way they've been imparted to us violate the context of the song, the origin of the song, and the author of the song. So I went back and tried to restore that. Kevin Costner, who did The Greatest Showman and The Dark Knight and Jungle Book, he did all of these arrangements for me. It's big band arrangements, got a classic sound. So I won't ruin it, but it's really cool. And you can get that anywhere. Spotify, Apple, iTunes, Amazon, you can get the CD. And then I'm going on tour, Steph. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, Dallas, Texas, Tampa, Florida, Cleveland, Ohio, and I end in Nashville at the Ryman Auditorium, Raymond at the Ryman. And that's at RaymondArroyoChristmas.com, RaymondArroyoChristmas.com. You can get tour dates and CDs and all of it there. It's going to be a blast.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I'm glad we got to hear about that. I'll put all that stuff in show notes.
People can you're find so it kind.
Very thank easily. You. Yes. Yeah, thank you so much for being with me today.
Steph, always a joy. Happy Thanksgiving. Wonderful Christmas to you and everybody watching and listening.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation today. I have links for everything in the show notes, so make sure you go check those out. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy your family time. Remember, it's the little moments that matter, so just live them up and enjoy your time together. May God bless you, and may you be overflowing with Thanksgiving when you remember His goodness and mercy in your life and in our world. Thank you so much for listening to the Christian Parenting Podcast. If you haven't subscribed, you can do that now, and that way you won't miss an episode. You can connect with us on Instagram at christianparenting_org and see more resources at christianparenting.org. And if you're a mom raising daughters, we have the perfect course for you. Visit cpguides.org to learn more about our Helping Moms Raise Confident Daughters online courses. And lastly, if you have enjoyed this podcast or other Christian parenting resources, please consider donating to this ministry. Visit christianparenting.org and click the donate button. Christian Parenting is 100% donor funded, and none of this would be possible without your help. We are so grateful for you. You're amazing. God bless you.
What's standing between you and your first sale on Shopify? Time, expertise, resources? What if you could multiply all three? Product descriptions? Done. Store insights? Delivered. 2 a.m. customer questions? Handled instantly. Entrepreneurs on Shopify are reaching their first sale faster with AI that works with you. Go to shopify.com/firstsale to see how entrepreneurs use AI to grow their businesses faster. That's shopify.com/firstsale.